গৌরাঙ্গ তুমি মরে দয়া না চরি হো, গৌরাঙ্গ তুমি মরে গৌরাঙ্গ তুমি মরে দয়া না চরি হো, গৌরাঙ্গ তুমি মরে দয়া না চরি হো, অপন করিয়া রঙ্গ চরণে রাখি হো, তোমার চরণ লাগি সব ত্যাগিল, তোমার চরণ লাগি সব ত্যাগিল, শীতল চরণ পায়া চরণ লোয়েলো, শীতল চরণ পায়া চরণ লোয়েলো, একুলে অকুলে মুই বিলুতি লাঞ্জলি, একুলে অকুলে রাখি হো চরণে মোরে আপনার বোধি, রাখি হো চরণে মোরে আপনার বোধি, বাসুদেব ঘোষ বলে চরণে ধরিয়া, বাসুদেব ঘোষ বলে চরণে ধরিয়া, কৃপা করি রাখো মোরে পদ ছায়া দিয়া, কৃপা করি রাখো মোরে পদ ছায়া দিয়া, গৌরাঙ্গ তুমি মোরে দয়া না চরি হো, গৌরাঙ্গ তুমি মোরে দয়া না চরি হো, আপন করিয়া রঙ্গ চরণে রাখি হো, আপন করিয়া রঙ্গ চরণে রাখি হো, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম। Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Gaura Hari Jaya, Gaura Hari,
Gaura Hari Jaya, Gaura Hari,
Patita Pavana, Gaura Hari,
Patita Pavana, Gaura Hari,
Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga,
Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga,
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nittai Gaura Hari Bol,
Hari Bol,
కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి శ్రీ చైతన్య చరితామృతకి గౌర భక్త వృందకి జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద
జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద
జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద
జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద
జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద
జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద
జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద
జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద
జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద
జయ 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 నిత్యానంద
జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద
జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద
So now, if we go through verse by verse with the verses, we may not be able to catch up with the lots of verses. So what we will do, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, certain sections of verses are very important. Because the verses have certain words which are very vital to be noted. Like Mahaprabhu, certain things talking to Mahaprabhu is dealing with devotees. Devotees talking to Mahaprabhu. But in this section, it is more philosophy. So what we will be doing, we will read only the English translation. I will show it here. And we will proceed a little faster. So yesterday, in the course of the presentation, there was one gentleman who had come in between the class and giving comments. He said, you don't know what is Patibhashika, Vyavaharika, Paramarthika. So what I have done, I have got a direct Mayavad article for you. And see, this is the Mayavad article, you can see here. From Advaita Vision. So Mr. Pranab is most welcome to watch it if he wants. So you can see, it exactly says what I told you yesterday. Nothing new. So, in this, so I will show you, it will make it very easy for you if you consider this story to understand the three. So yesterday, as I told you, the three things, Paramarthika, Vyavaharika, Pratibhashika. So what is this Paramarthika? According to the understanding of the Advaitas, Paramarthika means the Brahman, and that is the reality where your subtle body doesn't come into picture. Subtle body or the gross body. Because once the subtle body comes, then your mind comes, speculation, so many things will come. So therefore, that is a stage of Paramarthika, where you know you are the Brahman, Supreme Brahman, everything. Then Vyavaharika stage is the stage where you are in this world. You understand that I have been put into illusion, I have to come out of illusion, that kind of thing. So at that time you consider I am a jiva and the Supreme Brahman is God. And then you do the sadhanas and everything which are necessary because you are not yet God. Correct, no? And then once you become God, do you need sadhana anymore? They will not do it anymore, sadhana. Therefore, I told you yesterday that they will give up the mantra japam, they will give up the, what do you call it, murti puja, correct, no? All those practices they will give up. Once they think that they have crossed the Vyavaharika stage and gone to Paramarthika stage. And Pratibhashika stage is a stage when we are illusioned. We are identifying with the body, identifying, like we say, yes, yatma buddhir kuna petri dhatuke and everything. So in today's session it will become very clear where is the very big difference between Mayavada and Vaishnava philosophy. Based on what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, where our Bhattacharya got thoroughly defeated. You will see that today. So we'll begin with this. You'll understand. Just read the story, what they have put. This is a very famous story which we also quote. This is a well-known story. Read that.
Once a young lioness, going about in search of prey, saw a flock of sheep and jumped upon them. She died in the effort and a little baby lion was born, motherless. It was taken care of by the sheep and the sheep brought it up. It grew up with them, ate grass and bleated like the sheep. And although in time it became a big, full-grown lion, it thought it was a sheep. One day another lion came in search of prey and was astonished to find that in the midst of this flock of sheep was a lion, fleeing like the sheep at the approach of danger. He tried to get near the sheep lion to tell it that it was not a sheep but a lion. But the poor animal fled at his approach. However, he watched for his opportunity and one day found the sheep lion sleeping. He approached it and said, "You are a lion." "I am a sheep," cried the other lion and could not believe the contrary but bleated. The lion dragged him
Bleating means like that, yeah.
The lion dragged him towards the lake and said, "Look here. Here is my reflection and yours." Then came the comparison. It looked at the lion and then at its own reflection. And in a moment came the idea that it was a lion. "I do not look like a sheep. It is true. I am a lion." And with that he roared a roar. that shook the hills to their depths.
Okay. Now this is a conclusion they are drawing from the story. See the conclusion, what they are saying.
The following conclusions can be drawn. The lion has realized that it has always been a lion, even when it thought that it was a sheep. Thus the false knowledge that it had has been annihilated.
No, false knowledge it had has been annihilated. Yeah.
Second, the essential nature of the lion is unaffected at all times. It is paramarthika. It is eternally unsublatable. It is in the play of vyavharika where we see the becoming and unbecoming.
That means I was a lion, I became like a sheep, and then now I unbecome like a sheep and become like a lion. That is the intermediate stage where the vyavharika comes. Yeah. Yes.
At the vyavharika level, we may say that the sheep has become a lion, but the truth is that the lion was always the same, like an infinite sky. The sheep nature is like a cloud which comes over it, plays for a moment, then vanishes. But the sky is ever the same eternal blue. The sheep existed only in the mind of the lion. So is the vyavharika state unreal from the absolute standpoint. We see the world as we are. There is a tree in the dark. A thief would imagine it to be a policeman. A boy would imagine it to be a ghost and so on. But the tree remains unchanged. A question may be asked. What benefit has the lion obtained by realizing that it is not a sheep? It could have spent its life happily thinking itself to be a sheep. Reply. It has got rid of fear by realizing that there is nothing which could destroy it. This is surely a benefit in whatever way you may consider it. Fear is bondage. Fearlessness is liberation. Because fear arises out of duality alone, the Katha Upanishad says,
there is a verse which says, read the thing, yeah.
Whatever there is, the whole universe vibrates because it has gone forth from Brahman, which exists as its ground. That Brahman is a great terror, like a poised thunderbolt. Those who know it become immortal.
Yeah.
From terror of Brahman, fire burns. From terror of it, the sun shines. From terror of it, Indra and Vayu and death, the fifth run. This fear alone has kept the sun, air, death in their respective places and functions, allowing none to escape from their bounds. When the gods Indra, Chandra, Vayu, Varuna will attain to fearlessness, then will they be one with Brahman, and all this phantasm of the world will vanish.
Yeah. So now how the Vaishnavas use this story of the lion? We say that it was a child lion who got lost along with the herd of sheep. Correct, no? And then the father lion wanted to bring him back. Every time he ran away. Isn't it? Uh-huh. So, now the father lion, what he did once, he got the son lion, caught hold of him and brought him once. Ma'am, he was shouting. Then he showed, see, here is a mother, here is a father, and you are the kid. Look at your face. Uh-huh. And how do you look like? How do you look like?
Lion.
You see the mother's face was, that means, you know, God, father is Sachidananda Vigraha, mother is Sachidananda Vigraha, Radha and Krishna, and you are the child, you are also Sachidananda Vigraha. So, then you realize your truth. So, don't be like the sheep of the conditioned souls in this material world. Like that, we use the story. Now, these people, how they are using the story, anybody knows? You understood after hearing this? How the Mayavadis will use this story, same story. Okay. So how do they explain the three stages of paramarthika, vyavaharika, and pratibhashika? Yes, you take the mic.
Paramatma, earlier we were Brahman. So and then vyavaharika, they said they came under illusion.
Yes.
And when they understand they are not the
when we identify with illusion, we are in which one? Pratibhashika.
Pratibhashika.
Correct, no?
And when they
and then now you understood, oh no, this is illusion. I want to come out of it and I again want to go to my original stage, that is Vyavaharika stage. Then in Vyavaharika stage, you adopt many, many procedures. They say you adopt different, if you are little emotional, you adopt Bhakti Yoga. You know, if you are little very this thing, then go for Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Therefore, they have books also on each. You'll find their books. So that means you are in which stage you practice all those books?
Vyavaharika.
And then when you come to Paramarthika, means according to them, what is it? Actually, you don't become God, you are God only. You forgot. Now you understood, no? This is their understanding. That means you are a lion, you are imagining you are a sheep. Now you again realize you are a lion. So, now you clearly understand the difference between Vaishnava philosophy and Mayavad philosophy. Mayavad philosophy basically says the Ekam Satyam Dutiyam Nasti. That is their Abheda Vakya. That means there is only one truth, Brahman, Supreme Brahman. Then there is no second. So they say that, according to that, they say that everything is Brahman only. So you, ultimately you are God, but now you have forgotten. You will, when you wake up, then you realize you are God. Correct, no? Now, what Mahaprabhu will do, in his argument, we don't have to necessarily go to Smriti. Smriti can go later. With Shruti itself, we can defeat this. Because many of the impersonalists, they believe in which one more? Shrutis. So in Shruti only we can quote, like Kathopanishad, Mundaka Upanishad says, Nityo Nityanam, Chetanas Chetananam, Yeko Bahunam, Yo Vedadati Kaman. Correct? Now that is a Shruti mantra, if you see like that. So what does it say? It says that, you know, the Supreme is eternal, we are also eternal. Supreme is, you know, conscious, we are also conscious. And it says that the Supreme is one and we are many. Another example. Samane virkshe purusho nimagno anishe shochati mushyamanaha. This verse talks about two birds sitting in a tree. So they have a great difficulty explaining these verses. So what they will say, actually there are two birds explained because one bird has ego and another bird doesn't have ego. When the bird loses his ego, becomes one. Like that they will say. Correct? So, but if the bird is ultimately only one, then why they talk about two birds sitting in a tree? If somebody says husband and wife bird are sitting, you say there is only one ultimately. No. It's like saying like that. You understand, no? So therefore, they will have a serious problem in explaining such verses from Shrutis also, from Upanishads also. Therefore, Gita is called Gita Upanishad. Why? Because Gita quotes a lot from Shrutis also. Shruti truth. For example, in the Shrutis, the word Purushottama is used. Vedahametam purusham mahantam aditya varanam tamasaparastat tammeva vidvanati mrityumeti nan japanta vidyate ayanaya. This is a Shruti mantra also again. So it is talking of God not only as a supreme Brahman, it is talking of him as a Purushottama. Like in the same word Krishna uses in Bhagavad Gita, yasmat ksharamati toham aksharad apichottamah. And then what he says? Atos mileke vedecha Pratitaha Purushottamaha. Definition of Purushottama. Who is the Purushottama? He says, you know, I am beyond the fallible souls and I am also beyond the... That second part was a turning point in my life. When I met His Holiness Bhakti Samut Maharaj. That I marked, I said, oh, this I have never heard. Because these Mayavadis have been cheating me in my life before. That they said that in a conditioned stage, you are Kshara. When you become Akshara, you become one with God. But what Krishna says, yasmat sharam atitoham, I am beyond sharas, aksharadapi cha uttama, he is saying. I am also beyond the liberated. And then he is saying, next verse, therefore I am called Purushottama, he finished it. Again he wants to reconfirm it, he says, uttama purushastu anyaha, he is saying. Purushottama is not one amongst these two, he is a different person. Who is it? Paramatmeti udahrutaha, he is saying. What is his name? Paramatma. Everybody else is what? Jivatma. Either you are a conditioned Jivatma or you are a liberated Jivatma. Jivatma is? Jivatma. And Paramatma is Paramatma. And Prabhupada says Jivatma is Prakriti. And Paramatma is Purusha. Supreme Lord. Now a girl can wear a pant and shirt and, you know, climb on a horseback and look like, try to look like a man, Prabhupada says. But girl is a girl only. So Jiva is Jiva only. That shouldn't be forgotten. He is Prakriti only. Correct, no? So therefore, actually this type of Mayavad and such kind of false philosophies, it makes one very proud, imagining oneself to be Purusha, which is very vehemently condemned in Bhagavad Gita. You will see, Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhunkte Prakriti Janguna. that imitation Purusha is actually criticized in Bhagavad Gita. The more the jiva tries to enjoy, the more he suffers. Karanam guna sangosya sadasat yoni janmasu, he says. So in this way you will see another verse from again Gita Upanishad. One more we can quote. Krishna says, idam shariram kaunteya kshetram ityavidhiyate evam yo veti tam prahuhu kshetrajnam iti tadvidaha. He says, no, this body is called kshetra, and the knower of this body is called kshetrajna. Jna means knower. And the next verse says, kshetrajnam cha api mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yattat jnanam matam mama. In this verse he says, kshetrajnam cha api means what? I am also a kshetrajna. Where? Sarva kshetreshu bharata. In all the bodies I am also a kshetrajna, he says. Now Mayavadi say, the previous verse kshetrajna and this kshetrajna are one only, they say. And Prabhupada differs here. What he says here? He is saying, kshetrajnam cha api, means I am also a kshetrajna in every body. Like that he says. For example, I ask you, Prabhu, in Yatra, where are you staying? You say, Prabhu, I am staying near the Jagannath temple, in the apartment. I am also staying in that room, if you say. What does it mean? Someone else is surely there, correct, no? If somebody is not there, you are staying alone, what will you say? Prabhuji, I stay alone. If you want, you can also come. We have place. It's a big room. You say. But if you are saying that, Prabhu, in that room, I am also staying. What does it mean? Someone else is staying. It's obvious. Kshetrajnam cha api mam vidhi. That is one thing. Second thing he says, sarva kshetrishu bharata, he says. I am in all the bodies, he is saying. I am also staying in all the bodies. This again reconfirms the Shruti statement of samane drikshe purusho nivagno anishe shachati muhyamana. The two birds. Analogy is reconfirmed here by Krishna. He says, you are a tiny kshetrajna and I am also a kshetrajna in the body. I stay in your body as a super soul and you stay as a individual soul. Correct, no? So, another verse, 7.24 in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, avyaktam yaktim apannam manyante mam abuddayah. He says, he's not even, actually he's there worse than demigod worshippers also. He says, why? Demigod worshippers are alpa buddhayah. And these people are abuddhaya, he says. Huh? Yeah. No buddhi only, he says. So he says that, why? Because the demigod worshippers sometimes, you know, over a period of time, they pray to the demigods with a pure heart and then demigods bring them to the Lord also. Like Shiva brings many times, many people to Krishna's lotus feet also. But the Mayavadis are offenders. Mayavadi, Krishna Paradi. So in this chapter it will be thoroughly taught. Yesterday, the gentleman who was taking part in the lecture became offended by little Mayavad yesterday. Today, he will get more information now. Of how Lord Chaitanya, you know, completely cuts Mayavad to pieces. So, therefore, you should know, here he says, avyaktam yaktim apannam manyante mam abuddhaya, he says. So, those people who thought I was impersonal before, and now I have become a person, they are abuddhaya. Same is confirmed in 9.11. What is it? Avajananti mamudha manushintanumashtitam parambhavamajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. So this verse talks about how those people who think my personal form is illusion or it is also like the bodies of the other living entities, they are mudhas, he says. So abuddhaya and mudhas are same only. It's talking about the same. So in this way we can quote a lot from Bhagavad Gita. So similarly here you will see the second article, this fellow, Paramartha, Vyavahara and Pratibhasha. If you see, so he is giving some example, I'll show you here. Okay. So here he has given some examples. Number of examples can be provided to illustrate the Paramarthika Satya. Read that. Golden.
Gold and golden ornaments. Here the form and names such as bangle, ring, necklace have changed. But the gold remains without any change. Clay and pots of different shapes and sizes.
Ultimately, they are all made of clay only, he says. Okay.
There are many bulbs with many different voltages and different colors.
But they all are ultimately light emitting. Right. Yeah.
Even though we see many forms, many names, many races, many creeds and many castes in this world, we must know that the God that is present in all of them, the inner being, is in reality only one. those with samadrishti and samabhava, unbiased, impartial perception and interpretation, will be able to see only God with different names and forms.
Yeah. So now we have also no problem with that, as long as, you know, he's talking about the super soul. Because in every heart, who is there? Super soul. But along with super soul, there is also individual soul. And that is where they commit the mistake. They tend to think that individual soul and super soul are Atma so Paramatma, they will say. That's where the problem. Read below. Yeah.
Everything that we do is at the Vyavharika level only. And even the description and explanation of Paramarthika are also at Vyavharika level.
Why they say like that? Because, you know, you have to use your mundane senses to give examples, describe. Therefore, they will say, Supreme Absolute Truth is that personality, I mean, that truth. If you put any words, it will go and return back. Like that, there is one verse which says that. Because why it will return back? You cannot glorify him matching his level. You understand, no? So, for example, what we understand about Krishna, so we never claim that we know Krishna fully. Nobody can know Krishna fully. Even few devotees say that like a big heap of sugar is kept. Your ant goes and takes one sugar cube and it will be eating and dancing. And it will say, oh, I ate sugar today, I ate sugar. But what sugar he ate? There is a huge mountain of sugar. Similarly, devotees say that we only can understand one aspect of Krishna. And that will give us so much thrill. One life is not enough to enjoy that, that bliss like that. But nobody can fathom Krishna fully. Even Krishna says he himself cannot fathom himself. Because his opulence are always increasing and expanding like that. But these guys will tell you, now you will read now, they will say the absolute truth is so great that one should not even try to describe about it. One should, as soon as you describe it, becomes mundane. That is our understanding. Now go ahead.
No one except Brahman knows what the Paramarthika level is. And even this assertion is only at the Vyavharika level. The sages and saints are always careful and they have avoided making any false claims. Our problem is the lack of understanding of what they say, and most of the times we attribute our mistakes to them. They employ a reference point to illustrate the truth at the Vyavharika level and they are aware of our limitations. It seems that we overextend their assertions and try to go beyond. In the rope and snake example, the reference point rope is the truth at the Vyavharika level. Due to darkness, ignorance, the rope appears as the non-existent snake. But with the correct understanding, torchlight, the truth is revealed.
So this argument also is defeated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very beautifully. And Prabhupada explains the purport. What he says, what they say is what exists is only the rope. And you are imagining it to be snake because you are in darkness. You are in ignorance. Correctness, you are afraid. So now once you have a torchlight, you see that it is only a rope. You take it, do like this, do like that. Then you have no more fear. You understand it is only a rope. But what Lord Chaitanya asked the question, see, you are afraid that it is a snake because there must be a real snake. Otherwise, how can you misidentify this to the snake? And what is that real snake? That is spiritual world. That is spiritual world. Spiritual world is there. Now, the spiritual world variety is wonderful. But we are imagining the material world variety to be like that and try to squeeze out happiness here, and in vain attempt to get happiness, we are unable to get happiness. So that is the point that Vaishnava philosophy which defeats this bogus Mayavada understanding. Mayavada says that the only thing that exists is only the rope. Don't think of it to be snake. Don't imagine. But what, if you say don't think of it to be snake, now you have to also explain what is snake. Correct, no? Yeah, go ahead.
Now reasoning is employed to illustrate the truth at the Paramarthika level. The rope of Vyavharika became the Brahman of Paramarthika, and the non-existent snake of Vyavharika became the non-existent world of Paramarthika. We do need to recognize that this illustration with additional explanation is only at the Vyavharika level. This example or analogy does not provide any clue about Paramarthika or Brahman to those who determine not to accept any analogy. The dream analogy is another example that is used to point to paramarthika reality using a vyavaharika framework.
Yeah. Now, as soon as you catch them for the point of snake, what is the real snake? They say, no, we are just giving an example. You know, if I have level, whatever best we can understand we are giving, don't ask more questions, they will say. Because the moment you ask question, then they are exposed. Correct, no? Yeah, go ahead.
The truth at the paramarthika level does require us to extend our understanding beyond the vyavaharika level. Any of our claims about the truth at the paramarthika level are just further speculation. Truth can't be understood analytically by any brilliant mind or intellect, and that is the bottom line. This may explain why scripture becomes relevant for us to accept or reject a speculated truth. For Hindus, the Vedas or Shruti, the revealed truth, became the authority for resolving issues related to the establishment of the truth. The Shruti is the experience of the self by the Jivan Mukta. Any documentation of Vedas will not qualify for the term Shruti. All documented
so now, therefore, Shruti means what is heard in the Guru Parampara. Now they say that, you know, if you document the Vedas, if you write down, then you make it smriti, further you give examples from Puranas and everything, they will reject everything else. And so finally what he says, if you see, consequently the truth self-realization can never be described in words. It's not that Bhagavatam doesn't say that. Bhagavatam also, when the demigods prayed to the Lord in the womb of Devaki, they say one very famous verse. Nanama rupe guna janma karma bher nirupita vyetavatasya sakshinaha manovachobhya manumeya vartmano devakriyayam pratiyantyatapihi. The devatas are saying, na nama rupe guna janma karma bher. They are saying, my dear Lord, your qualities, your birth, your divine activities, these cannot be described by us, you know, manovachobhyam. By speaking about you, or by speculating about you with our mind, nobody is able to ascertain truth about you. It's bewildering. For example, the absolute truth, you know, it says he doesn't take birth at all, huh? But you are taking birth. But then, why your birth is very divine? For example, if a pig were to take birth, it has to take birth from mother pig, father pig, and then it becomes a child pig. Correct? Now it grows. Similarly, if a lion has to take birth, for example, it has to have mother lion, father lion, and child lion, and then from childhood to boy to youth, it has to grow. But this lion is coming from the pillar directly, isn't it? And that another Varaha avatar is coming from the nose of Brahma. So therefore, your appearance in this world is divine, and we cannot describe you with words or with our mind by speculating about you. So we have to. There is only one way to know you. They are saying by devotional service. Devakriyayam. Those who do devotion service, you reveal the truth to them in their hearts. And therefore we say, dharmasya tatvam itam guhayam mahajano yena katha sarvam. So the shastras become revealed in the heart of pure devotees, even if they are not very great panditas, very great scholars in Sanskrit, it becomes revealed to them in their heart. And Lord gives, because Lord seeing their sincerity, He reveals it. So these fellows, why are they say, sticking to Shruti? The moment they accept smriti and everything, all their philosophy of claiming themselves to be God will be finished. Because many explanations are given. So they consider all of it to be man-made and rejected. Therefore, actually that verse 4.40 in Bhagavad Gita says, Agnyascha ashraddadanascha samshayatma vinashyati nayam lokostina paro nasukam samshayatmana. That verse clearly says, three people, Ajna, Ashraddha Dana, and Samshayatma. So, Ajna, Chakravarti Thakur, Acharya commentary you will read there. He says that Ajna means they are all ignorant like animals, common people. And they have no interest in God or not. Ajna, they are, even if they hear also, they will never want to know also. Ashraddha Dana means they know the Puranas, but they have doubts. Whether these pastimes are really true, maybe they are all cooked up by some man. They don't believe in the Achintya Shakti of the Lord. They are Ashraddha Dana. And Samshayatma means they even quote verses and they have faith in many of the scriptural statements also, they have faith, but they doubt whether Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or the Supreme Brahman is impersonal. God, is he personal, impersonal, personal, impersonal? They are doubts. They are considered as samshayatma, like that is it. So, therefore you will see these three things that the way he have explained in this type of article. You can see that this is their, and you will see that now the same thing he is going to do. Who? Sarvam Bhattacharya. And Mahaprabhu, whichever direction Sarvam Bhattacharya brings argument, Mahaprabhu will thoroughly hate it and finish it. You will see that in the dialogue now. What was the verse number we left yesterday? 118 we left. Yeah. So now we will only read the translation and we proceed and then wherever the purport purport is necessary, we will read a little bit, otherwise we'll read the English translation, proceed. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhu Vannilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Maavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. What is the verse number? 100? I'll just tell you the section. Correct. 118, no? Yeah. 118 to 215. The big section. Here Lord Chaitanya defeats Sarvam Bhattacharya and converts him into a Vaishnava. So that comes to how many verses approximately? 108 verses. 108 verses he took. The conversation between the two. So there are subsections in that. I'll just show you the. So I showed you the PPT, I'll just again show you. So this is a big section, correct now? They both are sitting. It's happening in the premises of Jagannath's Mandir, very most auspicious place, Lord Jagannath's in the presence. So, this is 118 to 205, but 118 to 129, there is a smaller section, which is Lord Chaitanya hearing from Sarvam Bhattacharya. Because Bhattacharya thought Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, and I am a householder, so he sat down and he gave him an elevated seat. And he's speaking. You can look at Mahaprabhu, how he is. Yeah. Actually, he is patient and he is listening for the purpose of pleasing Bhattacharya. And then 130 to 166, now Lord Chaitanya gives proper explanation of Vedanta. Correct explanation of Vedanta he gives. Yeah. And then very soon Mahaprabhu will show him the, darshan of Vishnu and Krishna and Ram, that darshan he will show. And then I have not yet made for these things Shankaracharya's false philosophy, 167 to 183. Actually, if you talk about Shankaracharya having committed a mistake outside, people would have a big uproar. What are you talking about Shankaracharya? But Mahaprabhu is a person who can talk, is Krishna himself who is coming. So you will see what is the fault, he will show that. And Lord Chaitanya explaining the Atmarama verse. I have a separate PowerPoint for that. I had done one full class on Atmarama, 64 explanation, Bhagavatam class we did there. You all saw it here? You seen it? Yeah. Then, 199 to 215. Then Lord Chaitanya displays his forms of Vishnu and Krishna. He's shown, and then Bhattacharya surrenders to him. And then the new Sarvam Bhattacharya, how he transforms. So now let us go to the Jagannath temple and see what is happening between the two great personalities. Yeah, 118 you can start, Prabhu, yeah.
Recite or no?
Yeah, no, only the translation. You can read this here. You're able to see?
I'll read from here.
Ah, okay.
This camera is coming. The next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya together visited the temple of Lord Jagannath. Both of them were in a very pleasant mood.
Yeah. So, one very important thing in the discussion about the absolute truth, there is a vada and there is a vitanda. Vitanda means what? Before coming for the debate only, you have made up your mind that this is what I am going to prove, and by hook or crook I will prove it. And you are not in a mood to, you know, understand the argument and present counter argument and things like that. That's called as vitanda, we call it. And vada means, you know, two parties come, A and B come, and then when they have a discussion, you hear both the sides. Therefore, you will find Shankaracharya and Mandana Mishra conversation you will find. Later on, Madhva Sampradaya, there was one very powerful personality, one Acharya. He once proclaimed in a public newspaper, he said, Advaitam Avaidikam. These are the two words he said. And then he said, anybody want to debate with me, you come, welcome. Advaitam Avaidikam. Then after that, there was a debate and he defeated all of them, 4-5 Advaitas came. And so now those Advaitas, when they are defeated, then they will accept the Vaishnava philosophy. Correct, no? They will not mind. Just like here you find Bhattacharya accepting. But there are diehard Advaitas who will say that, you know, like the tail of a dog. You see, no? You put it in a pipe for 20 years and then take it out. What happens? It will go back. Like that. There are people like that. Like in Tamil Nadu, they say, if you two pahalavans, you know, when they fight, you know, one pahalavan catches this fellow's neck and practically buries his face in the dust. And the mustache is full of dust now. And then he comes up. Then he says, do you accept the defeat? What he says? No. He says, still he doesn't accept. Even though dust is there in the mustache. Understand, huh? So therefore, after giving sound bona fide arguments from Shruti, Smriti, Puran, everything, you take whatever you want. You want Shruti, you take Shruti. You want Smriti, you take Smriti. There are sound arguments. But after that also one claims, then it goes into Vithanda, correct? He was not like that, Bhattacharya. Bhattacharya was actually open to learn. And that is his good fortune, Bhattacharya. I read for that.
When they entered the temple, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya offered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a seat. While he himself sat down on the floor out of due respect for a sannyasi, he then began to instruct Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Vedanta philosophy, and out of affection and devotion, he spoke to the Lord as follows.
Yeah. Here Prabhupada says in the purport, the Vedanta Brahma Sutra written by Vyasadeva is a book studied by all advanced spiritual students, especially by the sannyasis of all religious communities and sampradayas. Vedanta is studied. The sannyasis must read Vedanta Sutra to establish their final conclusions concerning Vedic knowledge. And then Prabhupada says here, and for the Vedanta mentioned, the Vedanta mentioned is the commentary of Shankaracharya known as Sharirika Bhashya. And then, so based on that, Bhattacharya intended to convert Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a Vaishnava sannyasi, into a Mayavadi sannyasi. That was his plan. And he says like that. And then Prabhupada says here, all the sannyasis of Shankara Sampradaya, they study the Vedanta Sutra along with Sharirika Bhashya commentary. It is said, Vedanta Vakyeshu Sada Ramanta. Yesterday I told that, correct, no? Yeah. Go ahead, 121.
The Bhattacharya said, hearing Vedanta philosophy is a sannyasi's main business. Therefore, without hesitation, you should study Vedanta philosophy, hearing it without cessation from a superior person.
Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya replied, you are very merciful to me, and therefore I think it is my duty to obey your order. Thus, for 7 days, continually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Vedanta philosophy expounded by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not say anything and did not indicate whether it was right or wrong. He simply sat there and listened to the Bhattacharya.
Yeah. Yes. Next one. 124.
On the 8th day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "You have been listening to Vedanta philosophy from me continually for 7 days. You have simply been listening, fixed in your silence. Since you do not say whether you think it is right or wrong, I cannot know whether you are actually understanding Vedanta philosophy or not."
Yeah, like that he said. So now Mahaprabhu is going to speak the verse 126. Prabhu kahe murkami nahi adhyayana. Tumara ajnate matra kariye shravana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "I am a fool and consequently I do not study the Vedanta Sutra. I am just trying to hear it from you because you have ordered me."
Yeah. Sanyasira dharma lage shravana matra kari. Tumi ye artha kara bujhte na pari.
Only for the sake of executing the duties of the renounced order of sannyas do I listen. Unfortunately, I cannot in the least understand the meaning you are presenting.
Actually, this is a very wonderful way of saying, I am not able to understand. Instead of saying that you are saying wrong, he didn't say that. He said, I am not able to understand the meaning that you are saying. Then the person will be curious to know, really you are not understanding. Now I will make you understand well. Correct, no? Then you will naturally ask, why are you not understanding? What is the problem? Then he gives the right explanation. Correct, no? Yeah. Yes.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "I accept that you do not understand. Yet, even one who does not understand inquires about the subject matter."
Correct, no? At least he would say that I couldn't understand or something. Yeah.
"You are hearing again and again, yet you keep silent. I cannot understand what is actually within your mind."
So now he is inquiring now. Who is inquiring? Please tell me what is in your mind. Because he knows that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very exalted personality. He has seen his good behavior. He has seen his beauty. He has seen his symptoms in the temple. So he naturally had affection and respect for him, and also he is in sannyas order. So although he did not know Lord Chaitanya as Supreme Personality of Godhead, he may not be aware of it, but still Bhattacharya had developed affection for him because of Mahaprabhu's very wonderful behavior, very humble behavior towards him. So he had a vatsalya type of relation, fatherly kind of sympathy for him, and also he had respect for his sannyas order. He thought, I am a grihastha, it's a sannyas. He had a natural respect. So with that background, that setting, Mahaprabhu agreed to hear for the pleasure of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then now Bhattacharya, after 7 days, is asking a question. And you are hearing again and again, but you are keeping silent. So why Mahaprabhu is keeping silent? This person is speaking, absurdity. Completely absurd philosophy. But Mahaprabhu tolerated. He did not immediately blurt out into a heated argument with him. Because Mahaprabhu, now we will expose him. He will say that, what kind of explanation are you giving? It is simply a bluff. It has nothing to do with what Vedanta intends to teach the people. You are bringing up your own thing. Just like we read in the beginning of the class today, Vyavaharika, Pratibhashika and Paramarthika and all. These kind of explanations they are giving, ultimately they are concluding that Brahman is one and you are the God. Once you wake up, you become God. So they are saying, when you become Brahman, you are the person controlling the sun, controlling the moon, controlling the wind, controlling rains. Correct, no? His grace, Atmadatta Prabhu, told a joke. So before coming to meet Srila Prabhupada, he was a sannyasi in a Mayavadi mutt. His name was Atmananda Swami. That was his name. Atmananda Swami, one of the Anandas. So he said his name was Atmananda Swami Maharaj. That was his name. So Prabhupada just changed it to Atmatattva Prabhu after that. But before meeting Prabhupada, he said, he used to go to the terrace in the night and raise his hand and then do like this, you know. So he had a regular practice of trying to control the stars and the moon, because later on, once you become realized as Brahman, you have to control them. So he used to have a kind of meditation on controlling everything in the world, including the stars and the moon and the sky and the wind and everything. So when he came to ISKCON in the early days also, he went to terrace. He was trying to do that. And devotees asked, what is it? Then he said, because, you know, he was not fully aware of the philosophy in the very early days. And he was actually a visitor. He was coming and going. So one day when they saw him doing it, they laughed. Now, when he said it, he himself laughed. You know, he said, what a fool I was. I actually believed that I am the Supreme Brahman. And one day I am going to take charge of the whole universe, controlling everything. That's what the scholars were saying, correct, no? You know, once you realize you are Brahman, you will do everything. Now you all may say, how can they be so foolish? They seem to be very intelligent, so learned in Shastra and everything. So what is their hope? Their hope is that right now you are in Pratibhashika and Vyavaharika, no? Therefore, you can't understand what it means to be Supreme Lord with your own mundane senses and everything. But once you go very high, you become very realized, very advanced, you come out of this delusion, maya, you know, then a stage will come and you actually will become Supreme Lord. I mean, Supreme Lord means Brahman, Supreme Brahman. This is their understanding. This is how they have been going on with this understanding. You can imagine. So, actually the main difference between Vaishnavas and Mayavadis comes in this place. That ultimately there is one supreme, pure spiritual entity, whether he is a person or he is impersonal. That is one thing, number one. Number two, is that supreme absolute truth, supreme, and then there are subordinate entities. Or ultimately subordinate, superior, everything is merged and everything is one. Correct, no? This is the second difference between the two. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very beautifully answered all the possible arguments that Bhattacharya will bring. Now you will see that. So, now 130 onwards, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to give the direct meaning of Vedanta. That is the foremost evidence. No need to interpret it, he says. In fact, those guys keep saying, don't interpret, but what are they doing? Yeah, that is the point. See, now how are they confident that the Vedas are talking about the Supreme is only impersonal? One example I'll tell you. In Ishopanishad it is said, Saparyagat Shukram Akayam Avranam Asnaviram Shuddham Apapaviddham. So this verse says, Saparyagat Shukram Akayam. Akayam means the Supreme Lord has no body. Akayam means what? He has no body, he says. And then he says, Avranam Asnaviram. And he has no veins, he says. No bones like that. See, if body only is not there, then why do you talk about bones? That question comes or not? Do you have to separately say? So, you understand the question? Yeah. Now, in case you have already said body only is not there, then there is no question of any bones, any blood, any flesh, anything like that. But it says, Asnaviram. His body is shuddham, it says. Apapa viddham. So therefore we should know, when it says akaya means his body is not like your body or my body. Another example I'll tell you. Na vidyate yasya cha janma karma va na nama rupe guna dosha eva va tatapi lokapaya sambhavaya swamaya yatan yanukalam ruchati tasmai nama pareshaya brahmane nanta shaktaye Arupayo Rupaya Nama Ashcharya Karmine. This is Gajendra Moksha prayers. He's saying, Na Vidyate Yasacha Janma Karmava. So he says that that Supreme Personality has no Janma and no Karma. Na Nama. See, he has no name. Na Nama Rupe. Gunadosha Evaba. Actually, his name, form, qualities, all these things don't touch him. And guna dosha also doesn't happen. He is not affected by the three gunas also, he says. Tatapi lokapaya sambhavaya. Still he comes to this world, he says. Swamayayatanyanukalam richati. But he comes by his own internal potency. He doesn't take a body like you and me, you know, with the flesh and bones. And then he says, Tasmai nama pareshaya is para ish. Is beyond all the 33 crore devatas. Tasmai nama pareshaya brahmane is saying, he is a supreme brahman. Ananta shaktiye, he has unlimited potencies. He is not impotent. Ananta shaktiye means he has innumerable potencies. Why the Mayavadis want to make God impersonal? Because if you talk about the six opulences of the Lord, and if you talk about his Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Brahma Shakti, Vishnu Shakti, Shiva Shakti, all that you bring, immediately becomes attractive. So they want to strip the absolute truth of all the potencies and make him impotent so that, you know, people will not make him God, they themselves can become God. Prabhupada says that in one place. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as well as Prishpada Shripada Ramanujacharya both have said this point that one cannot separate the potencies from the potent as much as you cannot separate the blueness of a lotus from a blue lotus. The blueness is inherent in a blue lotus. So therefore he says Ananta Shakti, and then he says Arupaya. He has no roop, he is saying. But Uru Rupaya, he has many many roop, he is saying. What is this? He is Arupaya and Uru Rupaya. Why is it contradicting? Here comes the point. Arupaya means what? He has no form like you and me. Therefore he says Arupaya. Ururupaya means, but he still has many forms. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha, like that. He has many forms. That means, he has form, but that form is made up of Satchidananda. Therefore, the Shastras first deny the material body of the Lord, and then they present the spiritual personality of the Lord. Therefore, they have to be very carefully understood. Somebody may make a hasty dash, thinking that, oh, I think scriptures are talking about God having no personality, no form. And also the Shastras talk a lot about the non-difference, like Jesus also says in Bible, I and my Father are one. He says that in Bible. So, his Holiness Jayadutta Maharaj was giving a lecture. He said, what is the meaning of this? I and Father are one. Do you take the Son and combine his flesh with Father's flesh in the machine or something? Both and make one body of Son and Father? Because they are saying they are one. What are they one? The one means one in the air. One in consciousness. One in their decisions. One in opinion. Like for example, in a family, if the father, mother, children, all of them have singular opinion, it's a happy family. Correct? Now everybody agrees to align. Imagine if, say they are watching TV, if everybody agrees to watch a particular serial, very nice devotional serial is coming, let us watch. Everybody sits together and they can watch. But when they have difference in opinion, then the children say, I will go to my room and watch my TV. And then daughter goes to another room, father is in one room, wife is in another room. That means they have divided opinions. So then they are separated. So the jivas have turned away from Krishna and come here because they have divided opinion. But you align with the Lord, then you are called as the one with the Lord. So that is also nicely explained by Mahaprabhu. What is the meaning of that oneness? Oneness is actually in consciousness. Oneness is not in your identity. That the Brahman becomes Supreme Brahman. Always there is a talk in the scriptures about Atma, Paramatma. There is a Brahman. Parabrahman, like Arjuna is telling, Parabrahma, Paramdama, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adi Devam, Ajam Vibhum. The Jiva is not, the Jiva has no capability to be Adi Deva. He may be also unborn. Jiva is also unborn. Lord is also unborn. But the difference is, today morning I was telling, the Jiva's existence depends on Lord's existence. It's like sun rays can only exist when? When sun exists. The kasturi smell can only spread in the room. When? When the kasturi is present. The jiva, tiny part and parcel, can act only when he is a part and parcel of one supreme. If that supreme is not there, you have no existence, entity. So therefore, the sun and the sun rays. That's an example. It will come eventually. So therefore, Mahaprabhu saw that he is giving a misinterpretation of the Vedanta and claiming that, you know, that is true. So therefore he kept quiet. Now when he asked, now Mahaprabhu is going to give direct meaning. Read it further.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then revealed his mind, saying, I can understand the meaning of each sutra very clearly, but your explanations have simply agitated my mind.
Yeah, read further. Yeah.
The meaning of the aphorisms in the Vedanta Sutra contain clear purports in themselves, but other purports you presented simply covered the meaning of the sutras like the cloud.
Like, you know, the Vedanta Sutra is like a sun in the sky. But your commentaries which you are giving and explaining me, that is like a cloud that covers our vision of the sun. Like that is telling, yeah. So, read further.
You do not explain the direct meaning of the Brahma Sutras. Indeed, it appears that your business is to cover their real meaning.
Yeah, that's the point. See, because they desire to be the supreme law, supreme truth, supreme absolute truth, that's actually a very cunning and diplomatic and impure desire of the living entity, in the conditioned state. So, Prabhupada says, Mayavad is nothing more than materialism. Prabhupada says in one lecture, the materialists want to enjoy this world, and Mayavadis want to enjoy this world by giving reasoning and explanation and very, very, using their fine intelligence, They will give explanation ultimately. What the nonsense that is being done by the conditioned souls foolishly, they do the same thing. In a very sophisticated way. That's Prabhupada says that. Because you will see that Bhogatyaga, they say, the karmis want to enjoy here and the jnanis want to enjoy there. They don't want to enter any service. There is not even an iota of desire. In fact, they condemn the Vaishnavas for having a desire to serve. They say, what is this serving mentality? Already you are serving Maya, you are suffering in this world. You become Brahman and then you become God yourself. You don't have to serve anybody. You can be completely free. That's their understanding. Just see. So, therefore Mahaprabhu says, you are covering the meaning that Vedavyas intended to say. Like that he is saying. So, the purport purpose is it the purport?
This is typical of all Mayavadis or atheists who interpret the meaning of Vedic literature in their own imaginative way. The real purpose of such foolish people is to impose the impersonalist conclusion on all Vedic literature. The Mayavadi atheists also interpret the Bhagavad Gita. In every verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In every verse, Vyasadeva says, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, or the Blessed Lord said. It is clearly stated that the Blessed Lord is the Supreme Person. But Mayavadi atheists still try to prove that the Absolute Truth is impersonal.
So these are the two things that we have to be very attentive when the arguments are coming. One argument is whether God is personal or impersonal. And the second is whether Jiva is God or Jiva is subordinate to God. So, if you are alert, you will get a lot of valuable arguments in all these purports of Prabhupada. So, when I came in IIT for the first time program to Isolan's Bhakti Rasanath Maharaj program, so I asked some of these type of questions. So, the first book he gave me was TLC, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He said, you go and read this, all your doubts will be clear. So, I was very fascinated by two pastimes in that, Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvam Bhattacharya, because many of my doubts were very cleared. Very, very nicely it's explained, yeah. Read the next one.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Vedanta Sutra is the summary of all the Upanishads. Therefore, whatever direct meaning is there in the Upanishads is also recorded in the Vedanta Sutra or Vyasa Sutra.
Yeah, go ahead.
For each sutra, the direct meaning must be accepted without interpretation.
Yeah, there is a Mukhya Vritti, there is a Gauna Vritti. Mukhya Vritti is direct meaning. Gauna Vritti means allegorical meaning, different meaning. So Mahaprabhu says that you simply abandon the direct meaning and you always proceed with your imaginative interpretation. One example I'll tell you. You know, there are many Indian commentators on Bhagavad Gita. As soon as they begin the commentary of Bhagavad Gita, they will say that, you know, the Arjuna is like a Jiva and Krishna, is like Lord in the heart, and the chariot in which Arjuna is sitting, that's like a body, and the horses are like the senses. So basically Bhagavad Gita teaches how to get liberated from this bodily, you know, clutches, you know, by hearing the Bhagavad Gita. But and then they will say towards the end that actually here there is a difference between an enlightened one and the ignorant one. But when you read Bhagavad Gita fully and then you start meditating, gradually you come to the point to understand that the ignorant one and enlightened one are one. They will say you become ultimately one with him. And while doing this, they will talk a lot about, especially second chapter is very important for them. Because it talks about soul, the soul and sita prajna and such kinds of things. They will devote a lot of time. And they will never talk about, you know, Krishna being Bhagavan and how we should do devotion service to him and how we should awaken love for him. No, talk about that. They only talk about the dry shushka philosophy, dry philosophy of, you know, try to understand the difference between sat and asat, you know, between matter and spirit. How the spirit can be, you know, made to get liberated from matter. That's the only goal. Okay, if you get liberated from matter, what do you want to do? They will say, oh, then we will not suffer. So the goal is only to become free from suffering. Whereas Vaishnava philosophy says, you know, if I get liberated from matter, then what is my engagement? Correct, no? So the Vaishnava philosophy teaches to go beyond 00 to the spiritual world where you render service. And then when you develop a desire to serve, you don't mind taking birth million times. Mama Janmane Janmane Ishware. So you can see how much the Vaishnava philosophy is exalted. You can see that. Right from the initial step only, there is a desire to serve the Supreme Lord. In Mayavad, you know, right from the beginning, you are polluted and poisoned by the idea that you are God. Correct, no? And God is impersonal, you are Brahman, this kind of ideas. Yeah. Yamuna, two more verses, you can read, yeah.
Although there is other evidence, the evidence given in the Vedic version
I forgot to say this. Mukhya Vritti should be taken. Now, let us take Srimad Bhagavatam. Does Bhagavatam talk only Mukhya Vritti or Gavana Vritti, if you see? There are some stories in Bhagavatam, like Puranjana Upakhyan, which is called as a Gavana Vritti, allegorical story. But Narada clearly mentions it. It's an allegorical story, which later on he will mention it is an allegorical story I told. Based on which, the Puranjan is similar to the King Prachana Parishad. Correct, no? Mahaprabhu clarified that. Narada clarifies that. Eventually you find, yeah. Otherwise, in the Bhagavatam, it is said, whatever pastimes are mentioned, they should never be taken as a story because they are all histories. Like Ajamila Upakhyan at the end, you know, Shivali Goswami is saying that I heard this pastime of Ajamila and Kanyakubj, Kanauj, you know, from Agastya Muni, he says. I heard it from Agastya Muni, now I am repeating it to you. So that is one beauty of Guru Parampara. They always hear from one great soul in the Parampara and then they repeat it, repeat that knowledge. So then where the Mukhya Vritti is directly presented, one should not try to twist or turn and bring out another meaning. Correct, no? Yeah. Yes? One more?
Vedic versions understood directly are first-class evidence.
Yes.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, consuls and cow dung are nothing but the bones and the stool of some living entities. But according to the Vedic version, they are both considered very pure.
Yeah.
The Vedic statements are self-evident. Whatever is stated there must be accepted. If we interpret according to our own imagination, the authority of the Vedas is immediately lost.
Yeah. So, you will see that, like Prabhupada writes in Ishopanishad, if somebody speaks to another person in India, you will say, why should I accept your words? Is it a Vedavak? Like the people ask, no? Vedavak is so powerful that one need not even question it. It is like an aphorism. What do you call it? It's like a axiom. It is, or we can say it is self-evident truth. You don't even, because if it is written in the Vedas, it cannot be any falsehood. So therefore, you will, and in case you don't believe it, eventually you will come to know it. Like Prabhupada says, why should we believe in Vedas? Three reasons he gives. Anybody knows in Ishopanishad? It saves time. And then? Yeah? Of course, we have four defects. So, it is beyond defects. Yeah. It saves time. It also saves time, he says. And it is beyond the four defects. Apaurushaya. Yeah, Apaurushaya. It's beyond four defects. And also it saves time, he says. And then he also says the truth is certain. Huh? You may know or you may not know, but eventually you will come to know that the truth is pakka truth. The Vedas. Like for example, Vedas never say, millions of years ago we believed that the soul is different from body. Now after many, many years we want to make a small amendment. Please, all of you people of the world, please understand, you are not the soul, you are the body only. Will ever Vedas change like that? Huh? They never change. Scientists change. Huh? Scientists come up with theory, one theory now, another theory tomorrow. They dispose the previous theories like a disposable napkin. Huh? They keep doing it. Huh? But Vedas never do that. Actually, Vedas have stood the test of time. Huh? So therefore, one, like example is given, like we are using chamar, isn't it? What is that? Yak tail made up of? Huh? Yak tail, yeah, yeah. Yak is what? Like a bull. Mountain bulls. So from the tail of that it is made. It's animal product. Like you see the shank. Yeah, Brahmana actually, when you walk, Brahmana is walking in the road, if your feet touches a bone, immediately you have to come and take a bath. Immediately when you come home. Along with the dress only you will take bath fully. But here we are keeping bone where? Mouth. You are blowing, correct, no? You can see. Why? Because the Vedas are confirmed it is pure. Like cow dung. You know, generally any stool is considered bad. Even now some people are afraid of drinking this cow urine. Cow urine therapy. Because they don't have full faith in the Vedic verdict. You know. They think, how can we drink urine of some animal or something like that? See, although cow's dung is considered pure, a Brahmana's dung is not considered pure. Yeah, Vedas don't say that. A Brahmana's stool is not pure. Hmm? But cow's stool is considered pure. Correct, no? And then Prabhupada says some years ago, some decades ago, it was proven by the scientists, cow dung has antiseptic properties. Huh? When I went to Mayapur, they have given 200 diseases or so, which are cured by cow urine. Many of them are not curable by allopathy also. Hmm? When allopathy people raised the hand, some people came to, cow urine therapy, and then some miracle happened in their lives. It was like they were told, now you have to just run out your body, that's all. But then now they took the cow urine therapy, and there are people who are ready to talk on phone and give you evidence that I am the candidate. 10 years ago I took. I am still alive. Allopathy doctor said you will die within a month. And they have survived. So therefore, the Vedavak can never be false. And one should not misinterpret them. So we will stop for the day today here, and tomorrow we will continue from 139. 139 to 152, Mahaprabhu explains that Brahman is actually Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahman is not impersonal. Mahaprabhu will quote many, many powerful quotations. We will read tomorrow. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki.